Yeah, okay. So this is Bicycology on the radio, and after a slight technical hitch and setting up immediately after a workshop, which is slightly stressful, we're going to take over for an hour or so, and this time it's going to be recorded for posterity so that we can look back and laugh at ourselves. So we started off a track there called Be Healthy by Dead Prez, which is off their album Let's Get Free from, I think, 2000 off the top of my head, and it's on Loud Records. And that track is about why veganism is great. And later on, Bicycology is going to be talking about that and also doing some food reviewing of the great vegan food that is at the Climate Camp, as we did last year at the King's North Camp. And we're going to be comparing the food not only from the different neighbourhood kitchens, but also to the food last year and see if things have improved and things like that. And whether a certain kitchen is in the ascendant or certain kitchens have slackened off since last year. But before we do that, we're going to talk about what Bicycology is and what we've been doing at this year's camp and at the previous camps and why we're here, basically. So I'm going to hand you over to someone else from Bicycology.
Hello. My name's Patrick. I'm a member of Bicycology from the early days. Bicycology is a collective of cyclists who formed in 2005. Just after the ride up to the G8 in Scotland, and we took part in this really amazing bike ride from London up to Scotland, doing actions on the way, staying at social centres, visiting communities involved in various struggles, and once we were up in Scotland, took part in the blockade of the G8 and all that stuff. Really inspiring in terms of being with a group of cyclists on the road, 60 or 70 of us. And we just wanted to keep on doing more and more of it. So we formed Bicycology.
And so basically, as we've just been talking about in our workshop in the Northwest space, then we got together in November of that year and we met in the Sumac Centre in Nottingham, which is one of the places we visited on the ride, which is a social centre in Nottingham, which has like a bar and is run on a voluntary sort of anarchist basis, and has a food kitchen which is connected to the Veggies Catering campaign, which does campaigning on vegan issues but also provides vegan food at places like Glastonbury Festival and stuff like that. And so we got together there in November 2005, which means that we're coming up to our five-year birthday. We're coming up to our fourth year birthday first, but next year it will be our fifth anniversary of the G8 bike ride when everything got started. And we came up with the Bicycology name after several hours of agonising. The other options were a bit rubbish, things like Pedal Posse and I don't know, I don't even want to share the embarrassingly bad names. There's probably people out there who think Bicycology is a bit of a rubbish name, but I'd just like to explain it a bit. It comes from three words, really, and this kind of wasn't how we invented it at all, but we kind of added it on afterwards, and it kind of makes a lot of sense, which is why we chose that name rather than Pedal Posse or Cycle Circus or whatever it was going to be. So obviously bicycle is heavily in there, and we are a bike group, and we promote cycling, and we think bikes are great, and we think bikes are a great way of talking to people about other issues, and also that bikes represent a lot of other issues in the fact that they give you freedom, and they historically gave women a lot of freedom, and that they, you know, are something that you can learn how to fix yourself, and you don't have to rely on experts, and all these kind of things, which we'll talk about later in the show. But so the other parts of the name are ecology, obviously, which is a kind of addresses the environmental aspect of our group, where we broaden things out from just bikes versus cars to all kinds of aspects of environmentalism, which is the beginning of explaining why we're here at the Climate Camp. And the third part of the word is psychology, which is sort of broadening that out even further to look at our psychology as a society as a whole, which we think is totally messed up, and we need to look at how that society has been constructed, how that culture has been constructed, and how we can go about deconstructing it and kind of reinventing it as something that's basically a lot more sensible, and building on the stuff in our society that we still hang on to that is sensible and does seem to make sense, and all the stuff that comes out of 10,000 years of human history of evolving as a nice species that's only kind of been ruined in the last, you know, like few thousand and few hundred years. So that's kind of where the name comes from and a little bit of the kind of philosophical background. I think we're going to have another tune now. Basically, the way I'm going to introduce this is that is a bit of a personal introduction. I've been involved in bicycleology since the G8 bike ride, and when I was on the G8 bike ride, that was pretty much the happiest time of my life, and that's sort of why I wanted so much to have a bicycleology group that would go on to explore that. Because basically I was an anarchist before, but I'd never really experienced anarchism in reality, and the G8 bike ride was a great introduction to anarchy as a practical, livable, enjoyable alternative way of living. You know, it really was a community on wheels. And so the last few years have been a really exciting and roller coaster ride of exploring that and finding out good things. And this track kind of, for me, expresses the fact that this winter I didn't have such a good time with activism, and I kind of felt like it wasn't worth it anymore and things weren't working. But then I've come to this climate camp and things have been working their way back to organizing, and again, I'm happier than I've ever been. So this is a song, it's a cover of a Clash song, and it's by someone called Thea Gilmore, if I'm right. It's called I'm Not Down.
I've been beat up, I've been thrown out, but I'm not down, I'm not down. I've been shown up, but I've grown up, I'm not down, I'm not down. So you walk around and think that you're the toughest in the world, the whole wide world, but your street's away.
Okay, so that's Thea Gilmore with her cover of I'm Not Down, which I think is from London Calling, the original Clash version. And that's a very nice version. I really like that, and I should probably learn it for playing at the camp. Okay, so the other day in the bicycleology neighbourhood, we used this sound system and some of our other bits of kit to do a workshop on all things pedal, generator and 12-volt related. So we're just going to talk about that for a little minute. And hopefully those of you who were unlucky enough to miss that workshop or just want to remind yourselves what we were saying, then you can tune in now and or listen to this later off the camp website and catch up with all the kind of basic info. And it's worth just reminding you that on our website, which is bicycology.org.uk, which is bicycology.org.uk, then there are PDFs on how to build our kit, and we'll be updating those and adding more information, hopefully some videos and sound recordings of the workshops that we did. So over to Patrick.
Yeah, well, we did a workshop on 12-volt sound systems and pedal power, and expected maybe 30 or 40 people to come, and I don't know how many there were, but it was 100 at least.
It was longer than the dinner queue, I think.
Yeah.
I was saying, the dinner queue's over there, everyone. Oh, you're here for the workshop. Ah.
Plus, I don't think we'd ever done workshops on it before, really, which is strange because it's always been a part of what we do. I mean, the sound system has been at the heart of bicycology right from the start, and yet we hadn't really put a lot of thought into.
No, I mean, last year's camp, me and you did a really sort of thrown together at the last minute workshop on pedal generators, but we didn't really talk about the big sound system at all. And then at the Welsh Climate Camp before I came here, I did a very short one on the pedal-powered cinema. And again, you know, that was not covering the whole gamut of what we do. And then this workshop, you know, hilariously, as well as having like four times as many people as we thought we were going to have, we hadn't really prepared for it at all. So apologies. Yeah, we're really professional. We really are.
I mean, one of the great things for me at this camp is just seeing how many pedal generation systems there are now. They've just mushroomed incredibly, and I'm not saying that bicycology is the reason why that's happened, but there's a sense of, you know, we're really exploring what's possible in terms of the technologies that we have in our hands. You know, they're great, they're very straightforward, simple technologies that you can easily get a grasp of what's going on. And you can build them for next to nothing and start, you know, producing your own power off the grid, building your own sound systems, getting them used in your own local community, getting people excited about what's possible. And, you know, at the core of it all is cycling. And, you know, it comes down to the amazing things we can do in and around the bicycle.
So I'm also from Bicycology, and I think we're going to have a bit of a food review later on. But now we're going to what are we talking about now?
Well, because we were talking about the sound system, we thought we'd better play like a classic sound system track. And for me, at the moment, like my favourite track that we played lately was we went down to the Isle of Wight to visit the Vestas occupied wind turbine factory. And we took the sound system, and for me, this is like the favourite time I've had the sound system anywhere. Up until then, it was when we rode into Nottingham on the G8. We had some Butthole Surfers on, and then some like really hardcore old 90s rave, and it was like just hilarious and brilliant, and the sun was shining, and I loved it. And but we took it down to Vestas, and obviously the guys inside the factory were quite amused with the sound system and were a bit baffled by its very existence. And one of the guys who was an occupier has since come out and tried to build his own system. He was that inspired. Within days of leaving the factory, he'd bought car amps and a trailer and built a box. And he's an inspiration as well as us being an inspiration to him. But basically, the guys in there were not being fed by Vestas, and Vestas attempted to starve them out in the first few days of the campaign. And so a local woman from the nearby Catholic church decided that they should have some nice warm chips from the local chippy, which obviously we in Bicycology heartily endorse because we're big fans of chips ourselves. And so through the amorphous networks that were very secret and underground within the magic roundabout solidarity camp outside Vestas, it was arranged that a secret track would be used to accompany a mass invasion of the factory and throwing of chips to occupiers. And this is that track, and I think it was quite appropriate. And there's a fantastic video of this action on Vimeo on the internet. If you look it up, you'll really enjoy watching about chips to the occupiers. So, okay, back to the early 90s for this one.
Thank you.
Okay, so Prodigy, wind it up. Another tune that we've really enjoyed. Some other tunes. Sorry, we thought the track was over, but it's totally not over, is it? Okay, now it's over, because we've made it over. So that was the first bit of Prodigy at Vesta's, but amusingly enough, a few days later, we were just having a bit of a party after they'd got their eviction order from the local court, which is a bit sad, but we decided to kind of celebrate what they'd achieved so far anyway. So they asked for the new Prodigy album, and we put that on, and that was even more fun than the old Prodigy stuff. And hopefully there'll be an opportunity to play that on Wednesday night when Bicycology are going to be helping sort out some pedal power and some sound systems for the Tat Down celebration party in the main marquee, I think. So that track's also a bit of a favourite on London Critical Mass. And so we thought we'd talk a little bit about London Critical Mass before we get stuck into some food reviewing. And then coming up very shortly for you after the food review, we've got the wonderful Al Baker playing us a couple of tunes on his acoustic guitar. So first of all, London Critical Mass.
So London Critical Mass, critical masses happen all around the world, and I'm sure lots of you have heard about them, but it's basically a monthly cycle ride, which happens at the same place every time, every month. So in London, it's been going on for the last 15 years at around 6:30, 7 o'clock, although it takes a bit longer to leave, under Waterloo Bridge. And the Critical Mass movement started in San Francisco. And the name was coined from the idea that in China, in order to get a lot of people across a road at a junction where there were a lot of cyclists and a lot of cars, it would be really difficult to cross on a bicycle until you'd built up a critical mass of cyclists. And at that point, you could force your way across the junction. So critical masses around the world take on many different forms, but it's basically a celebration of cycling and a celebration of the bicycle and its true place on the road. That's one of the things that Bicycology really like a lot, is the joy of cycling and the joy and the pleasure of cycling. It's a great tool and a great vehicle for talking about climate change, the bicycle. People really appreciate it, and they appreciate being taught how to use it and how to keep it maintained. And of course, if you're enjoying cycling and you're enjoying your bicycle, it's the image which you project out, and it's what people see, and they can see that it's a really, really nice thing to be doing. I think now, what are we going on to now, Bicycology crew? We're going to go on to a bit of food reviewing or a bit of music.
I think we're going to do the music first very quickly. So we're going to do Al Baker with a song of his own about people not meaning what they say. And then we're going to try to say what we mean about the food and be very honest and brutal. And apologies to cooks who get offended, but we're doing it in the spirit of constructive criticism. Okay, over to Al.
Are we on? There we go. Hello, everyone. My name's Al Baker. I'm from Manchester, and I'm going to be playing a gig later on tonight in the main marquee down here in Blackheath. And because we're all really organised here, I'm doing a nice sound check right now on the fly. How's that for you? This song I'm about to play is quite new, and it's called Never Knowingly Understood. One day when I was just getting really annoyed about something that some politician or other had said. Oh, can you keep this crowd following me down? I can hear so many voices, I fear that I might drown. If I fled this bed, then I might never hit the ground again. And then around the clouds, your last gasp was given. They took you to task for a dangerous rhythm, man. All your instincts. the fault is mine, but I can't see between the lines. When colour is so crass, I wanna read in black and white. If you could prove me wrong, I wouldn't mind not being right sometimes. And then you speak sincerely, but can you really mean what you say?
And Al is going to be playing in the
Main Marquee in about. I'm going to be playing in the Main Marquee at roughly 8 o'clock.
Great, and you're off to soundcheck now. So thanks very much for playing just before that and playing without a soundcheck as well. It was on the cuff, so sorry if that sounded a bit rough at the beginning. Hopefully we got there in the end. So yeah, we're going to do our best to make ourselves understood to the cooks and kitchens and the campers at this year's climate camp, and we're going to do some food reviewing. We've got three gorgeous looking meals in here. I think the marks for presentation are going to be pretty good for all three, but unfortunately they're all going to be cold, I think, so we're obviously not going to be giving them the best marks we possibly could be, but you know, that's how things work, and I am starving, so I'm ready to eat.
Do we know which is which? That would be a good starting point.
That would be a good starting point. And also, we've got some hopefully very special guests who are going to do some reviewing with us. So if they know who they are, special guests who are going to also sing us a song after they've done some food reviewing, who are also starving, as far as I know, you should get in here now so that you can eat and review with us.
So what we've got in front of us is delightful food from Wales, from Eastside and Yorkshire, I believe. First thing to say is that they are very different colours. I haven't tasted them yet, but Eastside is a predominantly yellow-looking dish with some nice-looking butter beans.
Yeah, looks really good, that one.
Is that Wales? Wales
looks Welsh, I have to say.
Yeah.
It looks like Welsh weather.
Solid and earnest. Green, a lot of green there.
Of
Wales
green
is
there.
Very green country.
Yep.
A lot of hills. There's some quite hilly potatoes in there.
Yeah.
It could be Snowdon.
Lots of water, yeah.
Hi, well, I reckon Wales, on my rating, gets a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I just tried the Welsh one as well. I think it's a kind of Thai curry. It's really good, really, really, really nice. It's got some courgettes, some potatoes, and a lentily oniony dish. I mean, it's worth pointing out that all the food at the climate camp is vegan. All the food that's cooked in the different neighbourhoods is vegan. And so far, really delicious. So there's people eating in front of me now. rapidly testing the food, and it looks like we're going to be moving on to the Yorkshire kitchen.
Before we do, I think we should get some more scores for Wales, particularly as the first person who gave the score for Wales is, I feel, somewhat biased, living as he does in the lovely Pembrokeshire. So we have an unbiased special guest with us who is starving. So perhaps we should. So we got. So we'd like your opinion on Wales first. This is if you'd like to introduce yourselves first as your special guests and all that, and then say what you think of the Welsh food, and if you have any connections to Wales.
Okay. So I'm obviously eating. You can hear that I'm eating. My name's Shannon. I'm from Seize the Day. We're a band. And this is really delicious. It's quite spicy, so you have to like spice to want to be in Wales. They have a very nice combination of lentils and mush. Mm. So I recommend Wales highly at this point. I am very starving, though, and as I get less starving, I may not care so much. Anyone else?
Yeah.
An opinion?
This is Theo from Seize the Day. These lentils grown in Wales are absolutely delicious. In fact, they're so nice that...
Sorry, we're really not...
First one, really spicy. Hot.
Next, what are you eating now, James? What are you eating now, James?
So I think we need some marks out of 10 for Wales. So first, should we do presentation? And let's try and do this relatively speaking here.
You can't really do... I can't do it without tasting all of them.
Yeah, but this is just presentation first, so...
Well, it looks a mess now because we've all eaten it.
It does look a mess now. I think Wales, because it looks so much like Wales, the food. I'm so impressed with that self-identification through the way the food looks. I think they're going to get a high score for presentation there. That's good. They've got at least an 8.5.
Yeah, we've got the mountains of Wales here in the form of potatoes. We've got the green valleys in the form of lentils, and then we've got a sloshy bit, which is the River Severn estuary.
It's tasting good. It's a tiger and curry, and I would also have to give it an 8 out of 10. Very, very delicious. So I think we've been having a taste of the food cooked in the Yorkshire neighbourhood next. Which, are we going to Eastside next?
No, this is Yorkshire.
That is Yorkshire.
Oh,
this is Eastside. I must point out here that at the climate camp you have different neighbourhoods and different neighbourhood kitchens, and you camp and eat and discuss and form the camp in your neighbourhoods, and this allows you to meet people in your neighbourhood. And today I abused the system entirely to get these three plates of food because I ran up to three neighbourhoods and said, "We're going to be reviewing your food on the radio, please give us a plate." So that's where the confusion comes from. So which one are we moving on to next?
But it's also worth saying that you are allowed to do this. This is not some rule that you shouldn't break. You don't have to eat the food of your neighbourhood.
You don't have to eat the food of your neighbourhood. You do have to put up with scowls if you say that you're reviewing it for the radio, and then joy as you explain what it is.
Well, and then they give you a very big portion, they tend to. So it's like window portions in restaurants, you know.
So we're going to move on to the Yorkshire one, which I know, because I got them, is this one. So what
have
we
got there? So the dressing on the salad is really great. I mean, it's pretty amazing. There is dressing on the salad. And there is some kind of flavouring on the vegetables to go with the couscous as well. So again, top marks for both of those things. Not quite sure about the white mushy stuff. Not quite sure what it is. Not sure quite what it's tasting of. Least favourite part of the food, but the rest of it gets top marks from me.
I thought this was my best, my number one in terms of presentation, because there was a lot of colour in it and it just looked really, it was really nicely laid out. Whether that was by chance or not, no, I guess not. That's been a bit unkind. That it was nicely put on the plate and colourful and fresh looking.
Okay. I think
9 out of 10.
I think the mush is a butterbean hummus. And I quite like the butterbean hummus. I think that's very nice, especially if you get a bit of the coriander from the salad.
Oh, try that.
Which I have to be a bit biased about, because I think I bought that coriander on my way here from the train station. So,
Oh, yeah. Not bad at all.
So, with the Yorkshire neighbourhood, I think the grain is bulgur wheat, if I'm correct. And... obviously, that is a local, possibly local and sustainable grain for the UK. It's basically a form of cracked wheat, so that's totally good. And that's also being served up in Eastside, so they've obviously had a lot of that and a lot of butter beans, because the Eastside kitchen has also made something with butter beans. So let's have a look at the East Side Butterbean dish, shall we?
Yeah, this is the one that I mentioned earlier. It's very yellow, but nice.
It is butter in beans. Fact yellow, yes.
Butter beans, carrots.
So we're having tasting going on. And just on the issue of which camp you eat at the Heathrow Climate Camp 2 years ago, we were the only kitchen left serving. We just had to keep watering it down until everybody had been fed. So you just got to keep going sometimes. Wherever there's food, wherever there's food, go and get it. But we are trying to give you a guide. At the moment, I'd say go to Yorkshire. Anyone else for the butter bean? How is it going? Anyone who's eaten it?
This East Side bean is a whole hill of beans. It's fantastic if you like beans. And it's a great contribution. I suspect later we'll find out it's a great contribution to wind power in this country.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. But it was also going to lead nicely on to nutrition and getting a balanced meal at the camp. And I don't know about the... I don't know any of the chefs for these meals personally. I did talk a bit briefly to the Yorkshire ones. But I think they're all intelligent people who are interested in this sort of thing. And, yeah, as we said earlier, all the meals on the camp are vegan, and we'll talk a bit about why that is. I'll just say briefly a personal thing which I've said previously, which is that I'm vegan and I love the fact that I come to the climate camp and all the meals are vegan. But I also try to stress to the non-vegans at the camp that this isn't some kind of like fascist rule. It's about the fact that when I'm in society normally, I have to put up with the fact that society is not vegan, and I have to deal with that every day of my life, and it can be quite difficult and annoying. And when people at the climate camp who are meat eaters or vegetarians find it annoying that the camp is vegan, you're experiencing a tiny amount of that annoyance that vegans have every day. And basically, at the camp, the decision that the camp is vegan is part of consensus decision-making, basically, that you follow the person who has an objection and you try to work around them. You don't just go with the majority. I mean, obviously, at the camp, probably the majority of people are vegan, but we're trying to accommodate the people who feel like they're offended by something. So for a lot of us, we find it quite offensive to find meat and dairy products lying around. Personally, I actually find dairy products more offensive than meat products, because dairy products are basically exploitative and highly oppressive, and I find that offensive in the animal kingdom as well as in human society. And also because dairy products inherently involve meat production. You know, male chicks are gassed after a few days in egg production because they're of no use, and male calves are of no use to milk production, so similarly they get the chop pretty early on in their lives. So hopefully that explains a little bit about why the camp is vegan. But the flip side of that is to really stress that if you're not vegan, then please, you know, go outside the camp and do what you normally do, and don't feel like you're being blamed or made to feel guilty because of it. Like, I want you to go vegan, but I want you to do it at your own pace and feel cool about it, and no one is telling you to do anything, right? This is a camp based on anarchist ideals, and we're trying to work together and all be nice. So please respect the fact that people want the camp to be vegan, but also understand that vegans respect your ability to make your own choices, and, you know, just do it somewhere else for this week, which is going to be a vegan camp. We're going to talk a bit more about the nutrition side of veganism and other aspects of veganism now, but hopefully that's a little brief introduction that explains a nice kind of, we can all get along around food, because isn't food lovely?
And food, is this microphone on? Have we got any sound here? So one of the other reasons we're doing the food reviewing, of course, is because food is great, and food is the fuel for cyclists, and cycling is a great way to get around. It's really economical, and it has fuel, and this is what we've been reviewing, and why we've been doing the food reviews. That's our fuel for cycling, and vegan food has a much lesser impact on the planet because of the production methods. And that's part of what bicycleology is talking about using less energy and still being able to enjoy yourself and still being able to eat great food. And the food, all of these dishes were really delicious. And it's amazing where they're cooked and the effort that goes into it. All the food is, where possible, seasonal and locally sourced and organic as well. And they're all things that you can find out about on our website. So what are we going to go on to next?
Well, I think there's a few more things to say, but as we're talking about food as fuel, we can talk a little bit about how that fits into bicycology in terms of other uses for food products, which is biofuels, basically, which the car industry is trying very hard to convince us is a kind of way to make cars green. And we in bicycology don't believe that cars are ever really going to be truly green, whatever you fuel them with, but particularly if you fuel them with biofuels, which essentially, I mean, the simplest way to put this is to say biofuels are worse than petrol. You know, that is the simplest thing to say. There's no argument to be had about it either, you know, unless you're using recycled chip fat that you really can't think of any other use for. Your biofuel that you put in your car is worse than putting petrol in. In terms of carbon emissions, it's maybe not quite as bad, but basically the biofuel is going to have had to come from somewhere. It's usually going to have been transported using fossil fuel. It's going to have been grown using intensive machinery, which is again going to have used fossil fuel. It's going to have been grown on land that previously was rainforest, which means that there's less ability for the earth to absorb the carbon dioxide that we produce when we burn something. If it's not grown on rainforest, it's probably going to have been grown on land that was previously used for food production. In America, a third of their corn production in a few years ago was converted over to use for ethanol. This is a really serious issue about food security. It's lovely being at the camp and being able to be sure that we are going to get enough food all the time. And generally living in the West, most of us can be assured of that. That is not the situation for most of the world's people. And it's become a lot less food secure in the last year or so, partly because of biofuels. So we should use food directly as fuel for cyclists and for human effort. That's the most efficient way. I mean, cycling is one of the most efficient ways we can convert food energy grown through photosynthesis into mechanical effort to either transport us about or make smoothies or even like once we start turning it into electricity. So now we've started talking about electricity, we're going to have some music which is to do with electricity. Shannon and Theo are just very rushing about with their instruments. And I'm just going to let you know that they're going to play a tune. We're going to talk a little bit more about Vestas and what bicycology has been doing down there. And then we're going to have another bit of music from a guy called Patrick, who's going to play us a nice little tune. And perhaps we're going to have a little interview with him and talk about how come he's at Climate Camp and what is it that he wants to sing a song about. So Shannon and Theo, are you nearly ready? It sounds like you're nearly ready. So I think I'm going to get these mics in the right place. And as I do so, I'm going to talk about the fact that this song is great. It's so good that when I hear it, it makes me want to cry. I get home and I put it on my computer and I'm so inspired about coming to the camp or just being involved in activism. I first heard this song outside the Vestas factory. I tried to convince Shannon and Theo that we could pedal power it and put it through our sound system and they were too rushed to have any of it. But then halfway through their set, for some reason I think we decided we could do it. And then we played several times and I don't know, how many times did we, you know, 7, 8, 10, you know, this song has been played many times, pedal powered. And Caesar Day really are the first band that Bicycology has started putting on as a gig. And then we've come to the camp and obviously the other night we've got on Green Kite Midnight and 52 Commercial Road. And I think we'll maybe have some artists for you tonight as well. But, you know, it all started with us thinking, yeah, we can do this. We can put on Caesar Day. And we'd love to. And I am going to hold Shannon's mic and these guys are going to start singing very soon. So this song is called Boys on a Balcony, and take it away, guys.
Come and get a job at Renewable Energy. Get a mortgage, start a family, the future's in green. Technology skilled work, lifetime guarantee, the pay is good, but the
windmill, turn it on. Boys on the balcony standing strong. Wind, bow, wave and sun. This is a fight that must be won. Wind, bow, turn it on. Boys on the balcony standing strong. For work in a world where the turbines spin. This is a battle we all must win.
All must win. Blade running profits on the solar water, 76 million. First quarter, 3 months later, Vestas say there's a lot more profit in the USA. Wind energy, clean and abundant, windmill workers, redundant, sold down the river by the Vestas management. No bailout coming from the government.
Windmill turning on, boys on the balcony standing strong. Wind power, wave and sun, this is a fight that must be won. On the balcony standing strong. For work in a world where the turbines spin. This is a battle we all must win.
All must win. Not much hope kicking round this place when every job's got 100 chasing. Miliband shrugs, what can I do? Come down here and support us too before they close our factory down. Gonna fight back in Newport Town. May not win, but we sure can try. Learn from this young and occupy.
Windmill, turn it on. Boys on the balcony standing strong. Wind, bow, wave and sun. This is a fight that must be won.
Must win. Crossed up by a guilty man. We got wind of the workers' plans. Are the ones who could dropped in that night. Heads down low to the morning light. Two teams went in and bolted the doors. Made their base on the first floor. Told the world and made their stand. Picking up the fight of the working man. There was Lashley, Ash, Stringer and Godley. Terry Smith, Scanlon and Moody. Seb the celeb, Polish and hunky and Big Al ran. Old workers standing idle. Rich blade poker with the earth's survival. NIMBY's blocking any turbines turning. Ministers fiddle while the climate's burning. Vestas, we've got news for you. It's our family's future too. It's our power, nationalize it. Better let the workers organize it. On the balcony standing strong. Wind, bow, wave and sun. This is a fight that must be won. Windmill, turn it on. Boys on the balcony standing strong. For work in the world where the turbines spin. This is a battle we all must win.
Hey, thank you. We're going to be heading up the singing round the fire tonight. So if you want to learn that song and any others you've got to bring along, then come to the fire about 9 o'clock and we'll all sing together. Thanks a lot. We'll seize the day if you've never seen us before.
And hopefully we can have a little chat with Shannon and Theo if they're up for it. Just talk about Vestas and seize the day and what you've been up to in the last 10 years and the last few weeks, if that's all right.
What do you want me to say, James?
I want you to say what you want to say, don't I, as a good little anarchist. I went, the first time I heard a Seize the Day song was during 2002 or 2003 when I heard someone play a cover of a song called United States, which was basically a song against the war on terror, I guess, and explaining that although people could be very sympathetic to the American people about what had happened on 9/11, that didn't mean we thought that inflicting that kind of injustice on others was a good idea.
So potted history of Seize the Day. We started in the road protest movement in 1996, singing to the people in the trees at Newbury, and then we went up into the trees, and it became that what we were doing was about... Oh, a little bit further away. Oh, sorry. That far away? Can you still hear me? Yeah, great. No, they're saying they can't. Can you hear me now? Yeah, they can. So I'm going to do it like this, but gently. So our songs... It's kind of a circular thing, so we sing about what we do and what other people do, and then we do it as well. So it's that circular feeding into who we are. So Rhodes Protest, GM Crops, Seattle, World Trade Organization, Prague, back for more GM Crops, pulling them up, getting our clothes off. I don't want to go into details. It wasn't pretty. And then... Then the war on terror, and we won the Radio 3 World Music Awards but got disqualified because of our songs.
That was
the United States song that James mentioned earlier. And then into climate action, and we made the decision we wouldn't fly anymore in 2002 after a tour in India against GM Crops. And here we are. We've been to all four climate camps. We're old, we're ugly, but we're beautiful as well, and we're carrying on. So... Wherever you see us, wherever you hear us, come and say hello, because we love what we do and we want to keep doing it.
And we love what you do too, I think. When I got home after the Vestas thing, and I wanted to kind of look at the photos from Vestas and the video from Vestas, and again, look up the video of the chips getting to the occupiers and hear Wind It Up being played, and it's well worth looking up. But one of the videos I also came across was a great video of Shannon from Newbury, which I don't know whether you'll remember, but basically there was a song which I was trying to get Seize the Day to play outside Vestas called PC365, which is directed at a police officer and trying to convince him to change sides and see the issues around Faslane nuclear submarine base and basically accepting that although he's a police officer, he's a human being who is totally likely to... go, oh yeah, those guys are right, and I'm going to join in. And I've just gone back to Stroud in Gloucestershire and seen a bit more video, and apparently that line was also being said outside Barclays the other day. People walked into the bank saying, anytime you want to, you can stop being a banker. You know, you can join us. You can say, this is silly. And apparently someone did, which is good. There was a banner which said, capitalism is crisis, which I think is above the tripods as you come in. And a banker came along in his bowler hat and his suit, grabbed one end of the banner, and the bloke on the other end of the banner assumed he was a protester dressed up, but rapidly realised he wasn't. And the guy was loving it, trying to find out everything that was going on and getting involved. And this story is on the Climate Camp website, and it's told very well, much better than I'm telling it now, but it's worth saying that again. And then going back to why I started telling this story, the video of Shannon is of you talking to one of the security guards at Newbridge. You want to pick that up? Can you remember it well enough to do that?
I spent 2 months wandering around the security cordon at Newbury. There were 800 security guards employed to stop us trying to climb the trees. When they were actually chopping them down, the security guards would come, the diggers would go in. And so every day for 2.5 months, I would wander around the lines chatting to the security guards, and I made a lot of friends. And some of them you can't reach, but a lot of them you can. And they reached me, and it was good. It was good conversations, good interaction. And eventually, one day, I was just singing, what are we doing here, over and over again. And the police said, can't you think of anything else other than that? That's really boring. And I said, well, you write a song then. Thank you very much, Mr. Policeman. And he said, I can't. It's out of my job description. But one of the security guards handed me a piece of paper with a verse on it. And then I went round the line singing that verse to the security guards. And eventually there was a 5-verse song written by them with the odd line put in by me. And it was just fantastic. And, of course, the next day they split up the security guards and put them into different teams because they were starting to get a little bit too friendly. But at the end of it, I got two poems and a wand carved for me. So I thought that was quite a result.
And just so we don't neglect Theo here and get a bit of the other member of Seize the Day who's here at the climate camp. When we were at the at Vestas, I asked you, Theo, what your favourite Seize the Day song was. And maybe you could just tell everybody here what you told me. And then after that, we're going to stick a tune on, and then we'll have Patrick to play a little song for us. So thanks for listening to Bicycology on the radio. We've got 10 minutes left, and those 10 minutes are going to be great. And then we're going to get on with some bands and hopefully a film when it gets dark. And this is Theo telling us what his favourite Seize the Day song is.
I think that the answer I gave to you was that my favourite Seize the Day song is whichever song is the newest. Because for me, if you've just written a song, the point is, it's a song about something that's happening now. It's a song about something where people are getting excited and taking action. And that's the most exciting thing, is what's happening this moment where people are taking control of their lives. And so whatever the song is, I'm really excited about that. And right now, I am most excited about the Vestas workers. I'm most excited about what climate change activists can do if they get involved with a struggle like the Vestas workers. And the fact that the Vestas workers campaign can go on to change the face of politics in this country if all of us do what we can to get involved. And that's why I'm singing that song.
Great. And that leads so well on to me talking about tonight's film, because for those of you who are interested, if you want to know more about the Vestas campaign, which is about a wind turbine factory on the Isle of Wight, where 600 workers have recently been made redundant by the Danish company Vestas, which is a wind turbine company, but by no stretch of the imagination a green company. It's a filthy multinational who just happens to sell wind turbines, who makes terrible decisions and treats their workers in the same rubbish way that Ford treated their workers at Visteon. So basically, people occupied the factory, and people, in the same way that people occupied the Visteon Ford car parts factory. And at Visteon, the workers have sort of won in some ways. And at Vestas, they also achieved something. They got an extra 10 days full pay because the company didn't put the eviction papers through properly. And they have probably got increased redundancy pay. They're still fighting for reinstatement of the workers who occupied the factory to make sure that they will get redundancy pay, which they've been told they will not get because they occupied the factory. There's still a massive struggle going on around this, and it is still a possibility that we will get that factory open and under workers' control, which is obviously the aim. If you've heard things about the fact that the wind turbine blades aren't in demand in this country or various things around that, just ignore it. This is rubbish being put out by either the government or Vestas to try and squash this struggle. There is no reason why that factory cannot be used to produce blades of any size up to 100 metres, which is you know, going to be used in this country. The blades they currently produce or were producing were 40 meters long each, which makes an 82 meter diameter wind turbine. And in Stroud, where I live, Ecotricity are putting in a planning application to build 82 meter diameter wind park with 10 wind turbines in the next few years. So there is a demand there. It's just being repressed by various forces, and we need to get behind it, and that's what we can do at Vestas. To talk about the film we're going to show tonight, I hope that it's going to be Fourth World War, which I said I was going to show the other night. Fourth World War covers all sorts of campaigns around the world, but in particular it covers the occupied factory movement in Argentina. We showed a film the other night called The Take, which covered that in detail, but we're going to show Fourth World War as well, which shows that for about half an hour. It also covers events in Palestine around 2003, 2004, and the Intifada there. And we may get a very special guest from Bicycology who's recently returned from Gaza to speak a bit, and she was speaking earlier on tonight. It also covers some of the Zapatista movement in Mexico and the anarchist ideals that are espoused there that have spread around the world and were taken up in Seattle and have been taken up by the climate camp movement. And it also discusses South Africa and life after apartheid in South Africa and the struggles that are ongoing there for people's rights. So that's that. Okay, I'm just going to hand over to Shannon from Seize the Day for a quick word, and then we're going to have a song from Patrick, and then we're going to close up with sorry, Duncan. God, I've got this completely wrong. So this is Duncan's going to play for us, and then we're going to have a final special bike tune to close the show. And if everyone would like to dance around for us and do as the song requests you do, then that would be great. So I'm just going to hand over to Shannon for a final quick word.
So if any of you want to buy a copy of Boys on the Balcony, it was recorded on the Isle of Wight by us and the Vestas workers and their families. It's a fiver, and all the money's going to the campaign. So if anybody's got a fiver, which, you know, most of us haven't, but if any of you do, it's a very good use of your money. And now over to Duncan. So I thought I'd say his name again, because that's twice it's been right now.
It's Duncan.
Huge apologies from me, Duncan.
That's okay. I just look a little bit Irish, that's all.
So it's all these Irish crew doing the man in the radio. That's what's got me confused. So a massive thank you to Dissident Island Radio for letting us play on, take over their radio station tonight. And thanks for listening to Bicycology taking over the radio. Take it away, Duncan.
This is called Zarathustra. It's a song for the apocalypse. Sorry to be so depressing, but there we go. Stand on your mountain, what do you see? World of confusion and insanity. Hatreds are burning in pain. Mistakes reoccurring. From your mountain, we did what's before. We better start learning how else we were far. So much destruction for profit and pain. Millions die screaming, a part of their game. Ice caps are melting, and rivers run black. Air's full of poison, and planes that attack. Well, I haven't you heard, third world us back. Down from your mountain, we did once before. We better start learning. We'll be right back.
wanted to mention you've been listening to Climate Camp Radio 2009. It's Monday, the 31st of August. It feels like we've been here for months. And we just want to big up Bicycology. Thank you guys so much for doing the show tonight. You did a kick-ass job. And if you really should just check out Bicycology's website and just learn more about them, because they're definitely a wicked group to get acquainted with. But yeah, now we're signing off. Oh yeah, and we're gonna listen to a tune, Ring My Bell, and Bicycology is asking everyone to ring the nearest bell and dance around. So jiggy with me.